Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. It is June 11th, 2014, and we are in the middle of a Mercury retrograde and a Neptune retrograde and excitement. And here we have three astrologers who gather every week. I've been missing for the last few weeks because I broke my foot and have been sleeping under the influence of opiates. But I'm back. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting from my bright red desk with my leg elevated above my head. And that's kind of an interesting position. And I am joined tonight by...
This is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And Mark?
Mark Waltz in New York City also, over on the other side of Manhattan, by the Hudson River.
Good. Well, somebody gave me a yoga in bed, and Mark is a master yoga. So I've been learning to put my feet over my head. It's been very interesting.
Excellent.
Because it makes my foot not hurt. For those of you who don't know.
It's good for your brain, too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, it helps. It's really good. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I broke my foot on April 25th. Good slip and fall with Uranus, angular on my solar arc, and, you know, it was the eclipse, whatever, took me out. And I had surgery, and now I'm awake past 9 o'clock at night, so I'm back. And what we're going to talk about this week, we got a lot going on in the heavens, and then we'll take calls from the listeners. So our number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And in the meantime, let's talk about what's going on. I'm liking the Mercury stationing and the Neptune stationing, both in trine to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Francis had an interesting thing on his website about Nessus, the centaur of bad blood, and him kind of in the mix because he's an early Pisces, and that there's this long station with Mercury trine Neptune, and, of course, this week, the full moon is involving immigrants, and Eric Cantor lost his primary and lost the seat at the House. And, you know, a lot of it's bad, a lot of bad blood, you know. So I'm like, wow, interesting
really
imagery. Yeah.
Interesting Mercury retrograde because, you know, often what happens with Mercury retrograde, there are crimes of inattention.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's some wonderful coyote quality. Mercury retrograde, you know, Carolyn Casey mentioned that her visionary activist show began under a Mercury retrograde, and she is such a coyote.
Mm-hmm.
But and she does bring up the tough questions, and she, you know, pokes fun at the things that need to be poked fun and asks the really good political process. But what I see in this case, some of that, but that a lot of people are reading into it false understanding. As far as I can see, there was an unusually low voter turnout. And when there's a low voter turnout, the only ones that vote are the ones that have very strong opinions.
Right, right.
So all the people that took it as for granted that he would be reelected did not show up to the polls, and only the ones that were vehemently against him and wanted something more conservative than Eric Cantor actually voted. But there are people are reading it into, see, if you back down and try to work with Democrats at all, you'll be voted out of office. I think that's the wrong information. I think the real information is, if you have a strong opinion, vote.
Right. Or if you don't have a strong opinion, vote.
Right.
Because your vote matters, yeah.
Put your vote in there. Or the people, only the people who have a strong opinion will vote.
Right.
Right.
Right. And they'll show up and stomp and yell and scream and yell and, you know, get what they want. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who wins in the elections. But kind of shocking, you know. So, I mean, he looked kind of shocked, actually.
Oh, he was totally shocked.
Totally like, holy shit, I never thought that would happen. And, you know, but it's interesting. So it's also, you know, we had the five soldiers shot in Afghanistan who apparently were
wrong
friendly
side.
Fire.
Yeah.
And that's Mercury retrograde too. Key in the wrong coordinates, and they start bombing you instead of the other guys. So
it's also Mars opposite Uranus.
Yes,
at that time.
Right, right.
And moving now to square Pluto.
Moving now,
that is so intense.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we had also a couple of incidents of police being shot, totally unexpectedly, sort of all randomly targeted. The one in New Brunswick and the other in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, right, right.
Yeah, and they just were, you know, they just were the ones that walked into the scene. The scene walked into them.
The scene walked into them in the Vegas. They were having lunch. They were having lunch at a pizza parlor, yeah.
Yeah, and the one in New Brunswick, it was whoever showed up where that guy was.
Right.
And, you know, so it wasn't, they weren't individually targeted, but it was me against the police.
Right.
And, you know, in a really crazy way. That's the Mars Uranus Pluto thing.
Yeah, that that T square that's acting up. Well, Mars this week is at the same degree he was at the eclipses.
Yep.
He's at the degree I slipped and fell on weekends, so I'm going to walk real careful.
Yeah.
Real careful. And it, but it's also the first week that you're healing. I mean, I'm seeing it for most of, you know, the, where the nerves are frayed and people have not had a healthy way to express their Mars, we're getting some really ugly backlash.
Right.
Like the school shootings and the police shootings.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm seeing the majority of people are actually working through problems that began in April when Mars was in this position originally.
Right. And this is
and
the
so
third
there's a lot of going
too.
Back to that place
yeah.
and taking it to the next chapter.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so we go back to the beginning of January, and then we have the April time, and then we have now. Because he's had three passes with Pluto. He has had actually three passes with everybody in the Cardinal Cross. Cardinal T-square, now he made it the cross, but... Yeah, so this week the square to Pluto is Sunday, Saturday, but we feel it. You know, Mars we always feel as he kind of gets closer, and he kind of rolls into it. So it's so just, you know the tempers can be a little shorter than normal, and people can kind of be reactive. Of course, Mars is in Taurus. He's answering now to Venus in Taurus, and normally she's pretty helpful, but this week she's having a problem with Saturn. She's opposing him by declination on Tuesday, and she's opposite to him on Friday. So she's talking about setting some boundaries in relationships and frameworks, you know, about what she wants and how she wants it to work. So, you know, how do you guys...
Very much conditional love.
Conditional love.
Or learning it's disciplined love, too. I think of that Venus-Saturn opposition as, you know, when in doubt or under difficult situations, remember your good relationship habits. Remember your skills. Remember your disciplines. You know, be a good friend and partner even if you don't feel like it.
Right.
And notice that the patterns and the habits and the disciplines of love can stand in for us when we're feeling cranky.
Yeah.
But it's also
and understand setting some, you know, and also being, you know, I would think of Saturn and Scorpio and Venus and Taurus as kind of they look at each other like across a room. And, you know, like when you're with your partner, you're with a really good friend, and you're kind of on the other side of the room, and you kind of look at them, and they look at you, and you go, yeah, maybe we should go. It's a, it's an understanding when they're in relationship to each other. And in this case, because they're also in declination, contra-parallel, it's a little stronger than a regular opposition. So it's going to have a feeling of really wanting to set some boundaries or frames and wanting to be clear about the nature of relationships. I know I've been talking to people who have who are working on ending or changing some structures in their relationships, and it's like it's not about yelling at them. It's about knowing your role and knowing how this worked for you to have this relationship, because it did. You know, there's and everybody and, has points and, you know, does stuff in relationships, so you appreciate them a little more when the Venus-Saturn is opposite. I mean, I know in my case, Rose and I, we've been, well, I've been sick, I've been broken, I guess, we've been doing dictation, and I've been dictating a column. So her, she had a family matter, and she had to go home to Illinois, and, you know, she was gone, so the column didn't go up. And people were like, where's the column, where's the column? I'm like, Rose is gone. I can't type with, you know, I can't keep my foot on the ground, and I'm not really good with stomach typing, you know. But I was really appreciative of Rose because it was like,
that's
man,
wonderful.
I'm so glad you're back, you know. Like, but it's understanding that we, you know,
it's
we also take for granted sometimes our relationships. So this is a week when we can appreciate them a little more because we realize what it would be like if we didn't have it.
Yeah. I'm also seeing on some new relationships that they're, it's more like tango now than it is like a sweet romance. It is that staring at you across a crowded room and that tension of trying to understand each other and saying, don't talk too much. Just tango. Just interact, get to know each other, set your boundaries, keep the spice. Let it be a dance and a mystery. You're trying to really understand everything while Mercury's retrograde, it just usually backfires.
Right.
talk less, do more together, and find a way that works for both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And let it be a dance rather than that, a conflict or a fade out. You know, just notice the energy with the communication issues that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And technical difficulties. And it is an interesting case. Our town is putting in a new light rail from downtown St. Paul to downtown Minneapolis. There used to be one. They took it out in the 40s so they could have more cars, and now they're trying to put one back in. Working on it for years. And they're opening on Saturday with Mercury retrograde and Mars in exact T-square. And because they chose that date months ago, it's been a real snafu leading up to this. There's been four intense accidents, one of them I think fatal, four intense accidents because no one's used to the train going by.
Wow.
And the train's going right down the center of a major thoroughfare.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And until we're used to looking for that car coming, it's very quiet, it's modern, it's a real danger.
And the bells don't go ding, 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 and it doesn't go honk, honk, honk because it's coming.
It goes ding, 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 but if you haven't heard a ding, ding, ding before on that road, you don't notice it. I mean,
you don't know
it. You're not
ding,
trained
ding.
To the ding, ding yet.
Yeah, you don't know what ding, ding means. Got it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Pavlov response.
Right.
So, but I often see that when people choose a wedding date a year ahead, and it's a horrible wedding date. All the tension, all the troubles leading up to it, that's that pre-birth difficulty.
Yeah, yeah.
And that even though the chart hasn't happened yet, it's being invoked once the decision is made.
Right. Once you pick the day, it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen now. Yeah, let's have fun. And then everything involves the day. It matches the day's energy because you're aiming for that day. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a really good observation. So it opens this weekend. Are they having a party?
Yes, all transportation is free on Saturday.
Okay.
It's going to be packed, crowded, and I'm hoping that people are okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right.
So, you know, it might be a real adventure, or it might be no one notices because it'll be pouring rain, and, you know, there might be tornadoes expected and all kinds of exciting things.
And the thing will blow away to Kansas, you know? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Right. Mark, what did you think about the aspects for the week? Because you always have a really positive way of looking at them. I know I was looking at them going, man, that looks crappy. But I have a Venus-Saturn aspect natally. So, and plus, I've been watching for the Mars, and I'm like, oh, right, this weekend I've got to have it, you know? So.
Yeah, it's tough, actually. A lot of the stuff is playing out in tough ways. There's a lot of conflict in the world that is showing up, this Mars thing. And some of it is with police, and some of it is with troops. Some of it is with, in Iraq, there's a mess going on there of, you know, violent takeover.
Yes, and it is a mess. And you know, one of the things I find hopeful is, though, that messes that begin with Mercury retrograde sometimes reverse quickly.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I missed the Iraq thing. What happened there?
Well, there's a jihadist Muslim group that has taken over the second largest city of Iraq. And another one as well since.
Wow.
And 500,000 people are emigrating.
500,000 people are evacuating on foot.
Wow.
Trying to get away from the violence.
Wow.
Having to walk away somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. You need to walk, yeah. And, of course, there's a lot of desert in that country, so probably not with a whole lot of supplies either.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure it's very scary and unsettling, you know. But it's all through some kind of violent opposition, and this is the Mars
facing
off with Uranus and squaring Pluto. You know, but like Heather says, with Mercury retrograde, things the message can change.
Right.
And
right.
As the message changes, the situation changes. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the full moon is, one of them is people preparing to immigrate, prepare their papers, you know. And then the other image is three baby birds in a nest in the tree. And so it's kind of like, you know, ready to take flight, ready to be, you know, better than a fledgling and do something new. And then if you think about if you're, you know, if you're a citizen and you're immigrating someplace, you know, and changing your nationality, or in this case, people leaving the country because of the violence of it, that whole migration thing of people, why we migrate, you know. And so there's an opportunity in the energy in the heavens to migrate. And there's an opportunity for a new fledgling, new, you know, not necessarily flying yet, but you're fledglinged and getting ready for a new beginning. So it's a positive energy in a turbulent wrapping is the way I'm thinking of it. Mm-hmm. And also because of the Neptune-Mercury trine, this is a classic for, you know, you hear something or you send an email to somebody that you didn't really mean to do it, or, you know, somebody says something and you get some information you weren't supposed to get. You know, it's very confused based, or, you know, info. And I find Neptune stationings, he takes like 5 days on either side. So it was last week and this week. But it's also that it's, you know, he's at seven Pisces, which is on the world axis. So we can look for Neptunian things in the world, you know, lots of world events that are based on confusion. Because he's sitting on, you know, seven and a half, stationing at seven and a half of the mutables, which tends to make for the mistakes to show up. So, you know, like Eric Cantor, well, was it immigration? Was it nobody voted? Wow, he was surprised, you know, but it was Neptune, you know. So it's an interesting.
It is interesting. And do we have anybody on the line?
We have
can
quite
talk
a few
about how it
line.
Applies to their personal chart.
Yeah, here we go. We'll pick up the first one on the caller and the first one. I haven't done the switchboard in a while. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Can you hear me? Hello? 819-961. You there? Hello, hello? She had her hand raised.
Hello?
Nope, nobody answering. Okay, we'll go to the next.
Okay, try the next one.
Yeah.
Mercury is retrograde.
Mercury is retrograde. She's going, wait, that was me.
That was Mercury on the line.
That was Mercury on the mind.
All
right.
The direction.
All right, now we'll try 214-443. You out there?
Yes, thank
Hello?
You so much for answering that call.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. It's only because the other one didn't answer, you know?
Oh, it's only because I was so fascinated with you guys. I'm so happy. Thank you so much. My name is Denise. I am 619-1964.
Wait, go a little further.
619.
June
19th. 1964.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm in Miami, Florida at 5:16 p.m.
5:16 p.m., okay. And what's your question, Denise?
How do I work my Saturn, Ann Ortley? Besides being in the 12th house and went over my moon and my Neptune, and then here I am and on my ascendant. So, hi, Ann. Thank
you.
Saturn's working its way
through you. Saturn's working
you,
babe. You're having it. You're having a fun time. You have Saturn in Pisces, so the whole thing with you is your spiritual path. And what are you doing to maintain that spiritual connection? Meditate daily. We live in Miami. Swim. You got the moon in Scorpio.
No, I don't live in Miami.
Psychic ability.
I was just born there.
Oh, you're born there. Okay. Well, all water things. Saturn in Pisces is wanting to do water things. So to work your Saturn, you really want to say, okay, what does Saturn represent? He represents a story at age 5 around the parents, the father, the grandfather, and he also speaks to your psychic ability. So with this placement, very psychic and also very service-based. So doing your Saturn often is writing, reading spiritual work, doing meditation, chanting. You got all the stuff in the 12th house, which makes you really psychic. And right now Saturn's in there kind of releasing your karma and saying, okay, we're finishing that up. And truth be told, every time you do anything, Denise, when you start with your Sag, Saturn pops right up and he goes, wait. And you go, okay, wait, caution, caution, what do I have to do? Because he's kind of forming a T-square with your Ascendant and your Mars and you. And, of course, the Uranus-Pluto opposition. So it's about understanding that you're here to be part of the transformational forces of the universe, and how do you transform?
That's so right on. Right, going over the next couple of years, going over your IC, it really is based in spirit.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But your progressive
really?
Moon
because
just entered
just
Virgo
concerned.
About a month ago.
One more time,
you know, about 14, 15 months ago, you went through a progressed lunar new moon and began a new 30-year cycle. And there's two major 30-year cycles that are ending and beginning. You know, one just finished, that the progressed lunar cycle, and Saturn going through your 12th house also is a finishing and reviewing of your whole. When Saturn crosses over the ascendant, you know, early in next year, and late this fall, early next year, you're going to be stepping into a whole new chapter and setting sails on a new sea. And because of the work that you've been doing for the last year, year and a half, with Pluto in your 12th and your progressed moon, there's a lot of change coming up in your kind of personal concept of yourself, especially around your work and how you deal with the world as your progressed moon conjuncts Uranus, Pluto, and Mercury over the next year. So you've got a lot you're chewing on. Where do I go next? What do I do? How do I work this? How do I heal? But don't expect too much of yourself right away. Give yourself room to experiment, because you've got one very silly, outgoing side and one side that's really hard on yourself with that Saturn down at the bottom of the chart, trine your moon in Scorpio. And it's not always easy for you to have beginner's mind, to try things you haven't done before and step into an experiment. And you really need to let yourself do that to step into the power of this next 30-year cycle.
Mark?
Yeah, every week I listen to you, Mark, and I'm ready because I adore you, Mark. Go ahead, please.
Oh, that's good.
Aww, that's sweet.
Good, yeah. Now you have a hard Saturn to work.
I know.
It makes you have to take on more than you think you want to, and at the same time, it gives you plenty of energy to do it. So there's like no rest, and that can get very tiring.
Yeah, because Neptune is bothering me. Neptune is like, I like Epsom salt bath. I try to take care of myself. I do everything I'm supposed to, and then it, I don't know, except for the fact that.
How is it bothering you?
Honestly, I just feel like I don't remember things, and I just like days turn into other days, or I just forget.
Pluto is trining your progressed Mercury. Neptune's at the bottom of your chart. Your chart gets a little spacey right now. So starting, you know, you've got Saturn, but in Pisces at the bottom of the chart. It's not particularly grounded chart. There's only a little, you know, Earth has always been something that other people had. You know, you noticed other people's structures and disciplines.
I just
really
it or buy
it's a time to work it and work it for yourself. What disciplines work for you? Not because anybody else told you to do that. You've got Jupiter and Taurus. You've got the capacity to ground. Now, your Jupiter is opposed Neptune natally, so you have to watch your blood sugar. You have to watch alcohol, allergies, and, you know, really ground yourself in a good, solid, grounding diet. When you do that, with that Moon and Taurus, with Jupiter and Taurus there, you've got the real capacity to find that Earth underneath you.
Yeah, and you can do that. Where it'll come from is just a trust that if you take the actions to basically to do a spiritual discipline of any kind.
I've heard that word five times
today.
It'll
take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then your own, not necessarily opposed. What grounds you?
Yeah. Just feel what makes your feet feel connected. And that'll have the trine from Neptune to Saturn allows that. It really allows you to bring in. But what's required is you sometimes have to trust that even though you don't see the big picture, you don't see the whole thing line up, you don't get the whole pattern. If you do your part, and you know, just do it in
Because Jupiter sometimes gets in the way and it's supposed to be too big or bigger or it's going to work out, and then I freak out. Jupiter, like,
that's where that's staying solid and one foot in front of the other rather than going for the the fantasy success, but really looking at what brings quality of life to you.
Yeah, and it can be very simple. So,
mm-hmm.
like, one thing you can do is every day just identify one thing that makes you happy, one thing, just a little moment, not that makes you happy the rest of your life, not that makes you happy for all a week, not that makes everybody in your neighborhood happy, you know, just one little thing. Oh, I didn't expect that, but, you know, I saw some little thing.
Gosh, thanks, Mark, because no one's ever asked me that. No one's ever said, name just one thing, especially coming from a male.
Yeah,
like
the littlest thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let it be fleeting. Let it be just something this afternoon. You had just a little minute, and then it's gone. And, you know, all the misery's around. No, but, you know, just that little touch. And content yourself with having found one little moment.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, with the chart like yours, because Saturn and Pluto's at the top, or Pluto and Uranus are at the top, it's kind of like, okay, like, all right, how do I do it? And it's got to, you know, people in your past, especially authority figures, with the way your chart is set up, would say, you know, Denise, you're kind of all over the place. You know, you have to do this, you have to do that. And maybe what your chart is saying to you is, well, what do you want to do? Because you don't have any planets in the first quadrant in houses 1, 2, 3. So it's an externally invited chart. People say, you need to do this, you need to do that. You want to do this? Do you want to do that? And you kind of maybe just go, yeah, I guess I should. And so Neptune to Saturn opposite Uranus is dissolving a lot of the you're supposed to and asking you more, well, what do you want? Because he's coming from your 12th. So he's inviting you to listen to the whisper.
And no one's ever asked me my dream before, Anne, and you spoke on something prior. But when I just chatted in there, it was from 2009 when you spoke of Susan Boyle about asking her dream. And no one's ever asked me my dream. And so until I heard this tonight, and I was like, what is my dream? It's my birthday. You might as well have a dream. I mean,
yeah.
So I can check Venus, and here's Mercury, and if you're going to have a dream and ask for it, just go ahead and do it. And thank
now
you
Now is
so
the
much.
Time to do it.
Yeah.
And I think you do dream, but I think that your dreams tend to be, it takes you into your inner world, and then there's the drudge of daily life.
Yes,
you know, to let your dreams like be a guiding light. You can really make a difference. This whole next cycle of your life can be very different than the last one.
That's what
if you can use those dreams as a guiding light and a way of directing your actions and your choices.
I shall.
It can be really different.
I shall, and I hope I call back and tell you what's happened, because thank you so much. You've just made
You are welcome. Have a wonderful
birthday. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
You're
goodbye,
welcome.
Chiron.
Take care.
Goodbye, goodbye, Chiron. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All righty. Okay. So let's see if the one from before, because I realized that I actually said their number wrong. I said 819 and it's 619. So I feel at least an apology is in order. Hello, 619. I said your number wrong. And the British lady just spoke. You're not there? Okay. She's not there. All right. That makes me feel better. Good. Okay, because I went, oh, my God, I said that number wrong. Okay, so it's 90 seconds.
She'll call next week.
She'll call next week.
Yep.
And at any rate, forward we go. So the British lady spoke and said show's over, or going to be over in a few seconds. And I think, you know, interesting, I hadn't thought about Susan Boyle in a while, but Neptune is about dreams, and that was one of the big moments when, you know, when she walked out on stage and Simon said, so what's the dream? And she said, I want to sing. And he goes, how come it hasn't happened? And she goes, I haven't had the chance. Here I go. So this week, Neptune is whispering in each of us about our dreams. So we want to pay attention to them and watch them. Very often, solutions to problems in the dreams with this aspect, because he's talking to Mercury. Mercury and Neptune hanging out at the bar, solving the problems of the world. And drinking, okay? So you know how they're very productive when they've been having a couple of cocktails. So just be ready and pay attention to what comes to you in your dreams or comes to you through your ideas and through your heart. And I think that's all I have to say. You guys want to add anything else?
I think that's beautiful.
Okay.
And stay grounded. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota.
And Ann Ortley from my bright red desk in New York.
And Mark Wolf. In New York.
We'll talk to y'all next week, folks. Take care.
Bye.
Be safe.
Bye.
Take care.